Now I'm going to have my co-editor come up, Walter Bargan.
One of the things that inspired this anthology was that the flood certainly captured our attention, was well covered by the media in all forms, but it really, in reference to Bob poem about the Indian mound, it really didn't perform a vision, and I really feel like Rising Waters is performing a vision, collecting all of our imaginations together, not all of ours, but a few of our imaginations together and our responses to the flood. And it has been, it was a wonderful experience, still is. I'd like to begin, though, with a couple of fragments. One of the things that I came to realize is that I have a very intimate relationship with the river, but I do not have a boat, and because of that, I'm always hassling my friends who do have boats to go out and cruise the river. And one of the things that you have to deal with is machines, and if you're dealing with machines, you're dealing with problems. Listen to just the beginning of the third section of a poem called Sunday, where we tried, this is during a drought, to put a boat in the river, and we kept discovering with each place that we went to that the water was too low. And I just read you these lines because I can just like hear the firing of the pistons in the truck and in the motor and our failure to get to the river. Persistent, we try again upriver and end watching the squat, upside-down, flat head of a catfish wedged between rocks of the boat ramp, rocking in the receding waves that discourages any attempt at our launching. Actually, what's happened is that, in a way, I think I've become a poet of pickups. Because you need a pickup truck to haul a boat. And, doesn't this always happen? Yeah. And in learning to back up boats, you have to do some different things than you do. And this, driving a pickup becomes kind of like a metaphor for life. This is the beginning two stanzas of a poem called The Falling Osage. In reverse, not yet moving, legs fully extended, the seat adjustment lever broken, my feet barely reach the clutch, the accelerator. The side mirror, a hollow cavity, reflects nothing but dull aluminum. I twist my neck till it hurts and stare out the back window at the trailer, turning left when I turn the steering wheel right, turning right when I turn left, backing up until I'm confused, unlearning what I know about driving forward. Oh, another pickup poem. The last pickup poem. This is called Descendants. This is towing a boat to the river. And then the second part is actually getting the boat in the river. This is many near accidents. First one tire leaves the asphalt and the ditch opens and the uncut grass waves inviting us down but not really caring one way or the other. And we choose the other. The steering wheel lurching as the tires skid back onto the road, and the trailer pulling the boat blindly follows with a jolt. And our hearts, that we were so unaware of, swell, claiming more room than our bodies, and beat against the window in their flight. And if that wasn't enough, after crossing the one-lane bridge over Bonfem Creek, we swerve, missing a stopped car, its door wide open and the driver standing behind it, half bent over, staring at something lying in the gravel. And this time the truck runs one wheel into the water-filled ditch, spinning until we are motionless, listing like the ship we are not. And though we continue on, four-wheel drive lifting us out of the mud and off the axles, we doubt the final miles, whether we want to or not. Where the heavy sediment darkened current cuts away from the limestone bluffs, away from the railroad tracks that shadow the south bank, and the stone and earthen dikes that force it back away from plowed fields, and we sail into a buoyant flock of migrating Caspian terns, rising and returning to the roiled surfaces, running their open scalpel-sharp beaks across the ever-slipping skin of water, terns turning on the arc of one wing, terns turning on the arc of one wing, feathered top spinning in the warp and woof of flight, a candent concatenation whirling around us, and once through we circle back, eager to again enter this plume swirl, but blending into the riparian light, appearing over the riotous vined and foliage shore, spanning the tumbled gray rip-rap, reaching out into the river, a single lustrous black tern glides, as real and beautiful as the rest. I'll read one of the two poems that I have in Rising Waters. And let me mention, if you do not have a copy of it, Am I the Huckster? They're for sale over here. They're cheap, $5 a piece. And there's other things there. Bob has some CDs. I have a couple other books if you're interested. This is called A Good Place to Begin. And one of the things that in editing this that I came across is that certain themes kept coming back to us over and over again. And one was that the flood was really a kind of resurrection in a way, as Bob's poem refers to. And the many cemeteries that were unburied, I guess, is the best way to refer to them, during the flood just really seemed to catch people's imagination. And the flood became, in a kind of dark and odd and maybe twisted way, a kind of resurrection, not only for human beings, but for the river itself, because it was reclaiming its valley back. And and so rather than complaining about the rain, the rain is always a good place to begin. After a summer's flooding, there are arguments and a sudden love for the desert light. But isn't that the way it always is? If my house wasn't floating furniture between rooms, comforting the murky water, and I wasn't the one counting the horizontal calendar of dried stains across walls and windows, anticipating the rise and fall of records and despair, and I wasn't listening to the reports of snakes hanging from kitchen ceilings and hogs crowded onto roofs waiting for a second coming, the brown god perched in the crowns of maples, the rescue boat flying through the trees, then I could open a palm calmly to the rain. But this unwanted water is transcending everywhere, crossing bridges and racing over roads, wearing down corn and soybeans to their roots. And then, as if believing in its own rapture, and after settling back into its old ways, it leaves unburied caskets blocking highways, as if a fleet of fishing boats leaned on square keels, waiting for the tides of rain to sweep in. Thanks.